corner. Okay. Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 25th August 2019, Sunday. So we are in fact very blessed to be invited to attend Brother Kok Lun and family's house Dana today. So we would like to express our thanks to Brother Kok Lun and family for inviting us here to partake in this wholesomeness of the Sunday Dana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is the first time Brother Kok Lun and family is holding the house Dana. So he said he hasn't done it before. I said, don't worry. It will be very wholesome. Then I promised him I will do the chanting for blessing towards the end. The Sabbe Dio Vivacanto. So all this has its causes and conditions. Then as you can see, the house is a very nice house. I heard a lot of people complimented. P.G. Paulian was the last to tell Copeland. He said, wow, your house is very nice. It's actually a very wide house, 24 and 95. 95 is very long, 15 feet longer than mine. Mine is 24 by 80. So this is 95. Stephanie one longer. Stephanie one SS 19. Her one is 99 feet. But more narrow, 22 feet. The width is not so wide. And she bought it very cheap, 525. But Kogun one more expensive, Tamantut. You didn't buy first hand. So here, the property is more expensive. Yeah, this place, the road reserve, everything is very wide. The developer is more generous. That's why the pricing also come with it. How much did you bought this one? During... You cannot remember. How long ago? Oh, 1-2. That time, not so expensive. But also more expensive than other place. 2012, SS2 was only half a million. Oh, maybe 800 something, almost 900. So here should be 1 plus. Anyway, we gathered here today for the house dana. So what we'll do is we will start off with the puja offering. So we will invite Brother Kok Lun and family to light the candle, the incense. Then the rest of us can rejoice in the offering. Come. Let us all stand. Come. Each of you light one. Oh, one more candle, then you nominate. You nominate your wise friend, I think. Your wise friend. Oh, never mind. It's okay. I think the fan is okay. Never mind. Just leave it. It's okay. Start the offering with the tray. The incense, the clear water, and the candle. Sadhu. 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 Never mind. Pass it around. No, just hold and offer it to the altar. Make offering. Then we rejoice. Sadhu means rejoice. Sadhu. Sadhu. Then move. Sadhu. 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 Okay. Sadhu, 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 heavy, heavy, sadhu, 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 put back the center there, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Go and get it washed. Go and get it washed. Go and get it washed. Then you can eat. But sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will also offer the food at the back. We just rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. There is a chanting book in front of you. So after the offering, we will do the chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. The author is that direction, but you don't worry. You can face any direction because Buddha nature is everywhere. Wherever you are, standing on or sitting or in the kneeling posture, you can just pay your respect. Arahang sammasambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, then you turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānāti pātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Ādīnā dānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Musāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamādhatānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sārāpa ditena Dipena tamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambutang Pujayami tamonudang Ganna sambarayutena Dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana votamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivase luno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offering items. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on the heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be fully strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be respected, Triple Jhampa. Buddhaṃ pujami, Dhammaṃ pujami, Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you can be seated. So what is the time now? 12 o'clock on here. Wow, you got a lot of time for lunch. So I can give you 1 hour 15 minutes, more than enough. After 1 hour, you get ready to clean up. Make sure you leave behind the place neat and tidy before you leave. Otherwise, Gordon's wife will have to work extra hard. Today, no maid, temporary maid also not around. So, Kaya Mita normally very considerate, help to clean up the place. Okay, for the benefits of those who are new to the Dhamma. Dhamma means the teaching of the Buddha. And Dhamma, the other deeper meaning is truth. All of truth are called Dhamma, nature's truth. So the Buddha, because he is a very special being, he is a very unique being, he is not a god. He is like us all humans, except he has perfected himself for a very long period of time, and because of all those perfection and cultivation, he has developed very unique qualities. He has become not only enlightened, fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue, in all the understanding that can be understood. That's why we can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And because of that, his teaching is very special, very unique. He can summarize to us all of life, whether it's the mundane or the supramundane, into very simple teachings, which he called the essence of his teaching, the Four Noble Truths. And these teachings are called Noble Truths because they are of noble qualities. When you understand this teaching, you become very, very noble. And in the early days, the noble ones are enlightened beings. These enlightened beings are very noble in all aspects of their life. The way they conduct themselves, the way they understand things, they are very noble. That's why they have noble understanding, they have right view, right understanding of all the nature's law that governs all of life and existence. That's why they know how to live life. They know how to conduct themselves appropriately, so that they are very virtuous, very kind, very compassionate, very full of love and understanding. And this noble quality bring about their ability to have the appropriate and right speech, right action, and right thought. including the four-eye effort to constantly purify themselves and make themselves a better human being. Yeah. Then they also train their mind to develop the meditation. That's why they are constantly aware, mindful, heedful, leading to their ability to stabilize their mind, to have this stability of samadhi. Samadhi is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind that is unwavering, yeah, that is always connected with understanding, peaceful, loving, kind, generous, full of love, compassion and gratitude. That's why they hold the embodiment of these Noble Eightfold Path qualities, and they are called Noble Ones because of that noble qualities. So understanding this teaching can make a big difference to our life. It not only can free our mind from all suffering and misery, but it can also bring about great blessing, great merits, so that your life will be very different. You are like very blessed, very lucky, and everything like go your way. And you seldom have problem or negativity because of this understanding. But for those who don't have this understanding, if they have not cultivated before, if they are heedless, life is not easy. They can have a lot of problem. Many things can cause them suffering, misery. The realities of life and existence, when you go through life, you will encounter many things. When things don't go your way, when you confront the realities of life, especially old age, sickness and death, separation. Yeah. And when things doesn't follow what you want, when you cannot get what you want in life, when your expectations in life are not met, you expect to be promoted, you expect your loved one to understand you, but somehow, because of your mind state, the negativity arises and you become afflicted, miserable. So these are the reality. Then when you are with people who are not so friendly, not so nice, or people who are difficult to live with, you also develop a lot of problems and suffering. So this teaching is something very important for our understanding of life, so that we can cope with life, especially nowadays. Life can be pretty stressful and full of challenges if you don't have the understanding. Then if you cannot confront all these challenges, it can lead to a lot of problems. So this is the reason why this Buddhist teaching is very unique, very special. So what I want you all to understand is, just now when we started, we rejoice with the wholesomeness of whatever that has arisen. So today's wholesomeness is mainly because of the house dana that Brother Koklun and family has decided to hold. Then they invite us all to partake in this sadhu, Pang and NGS. Sadhu, come join us. We have not started the lunch. You're still in time. About to. So we rejoice with their kindness in inviting us all. And also we like to rejoice with all the people who help to make this house dana possible, and all those who have brought the offerings, the fruits, the meals or whatever. So all these are very wholesome activity. So when we are gathered here today, our mind states are beautiful. We have this joy inside. Then we can really rejoice. Then we partake in the puja offering. Means we pay respect to Triple Gem. That itself is a very meritorious action. Then we do the puja chanting. Then we listen to some Dhamma sharing, straighten our view. Then we share merit, we transfer merits. Then we chant the renewal of precept. Keeping precept is a meritorious action. You can keep your precept, means you can avoid all evil consequences. That is wholesome, good for you. But at the same time, you don't cause harm and commit negativity to others. That is good for the world. That's why keeping precept is very, very beautiful. Not only it protects you, it protects others too. So this sila aspect of morality, if you keep them, is a meritorious action. It brings about tremendous merits. Yeah. Then if you silence your mind, compose your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, you are in the meditative state. And that itself is also a meritorious action. Then the 10 meritorious actions, you get to do them all when you partake in this Buddhist activity or puja chanting. Then we also get to you also get to partake in this beautiful house dana where all the nice food will be offered. Then a lot of choice. I saw the list very long. Then Kogon himself also prepared with the wife, prepared some nice food for you. So as Kogon say, make yourself at home. This whole house, you can make use of it. There's a WC washroom at the back. If not, and now you can go upstairs at the back. There's another one. So for those who came late, if you want to tour the house, have your meal finished early before 1 o'clock. Then you can walk upstairs and have a look. If you want the tourist guide, you get a whole lot. Just now we came early. That's why we got the benefit of being personally guided by the owner of the house. Then the wife was so very kind. He scared we have not eaten, so he offered us some food. He said, "No need, wait for puja." Then you can have your drinks too. So with that, I would like to thank everybody for making yourself present, and also on behalf of the owner, we would like to thank them for inviting us all over here to partake in this wholesomeness. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can have your lunch. Then come back by 1:15. So you have 1 hour 5 minutes, more than enough. You all go ahead. Don't have to wait for me. I will take a little bit of this because I had my breakfast, late breakfast. Already, it's 1:15 already. Yeah. Okay, it's already 1:15 plus. We can gather back to our sitting cushion. Can sit anywhere. Anywhere. Eric also finished his meal. Father. You can sit here also, but you don't move your head.
You need to restart it. Oh, it's still running.
Okay, are you all ready? If you are ready, you can gather here. We can still have the cleaning up later towards the end. Alicia, pass me the chanting book 一个，等下我还要 chant the blessing. Okay, everybody ready? Where is Cockland? Oh, you are here. Your wife want to join? Because after we may want the host to say a few words. Oh, never mind. Let her finish off the chaos, then only I call you. Okay, a very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now it's after lunch, no more morning. So we are indeed fortunate because Kayamita, together with Kotlun and family, they prepare very good food. And you need to have a look, very good food. So a lot of people like the food, especially a few good food. One of them is the Pamasuri Jigao Cho. A lot of people say very, very laku and very, jibby. Jibby is what? Jibby is? Aromatic, Ruwei. Alicia told me the ginger very nice. That ginger is, I think, bentong one. Bentong kyong. So after the good food, now it's time to have good dhamma. So once again, for the benefit of those who just came in, we'd like to thank Kotlun and family for inviting us all over here to partake in this house dana wholesomeness. We will thank them in the usual way. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then like earlier I share, you understand the beauty of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, you will have a lot of faith, gratitude, and also appreciation towards the Buddha. Because his teaching is really something very unique, very beautiful and very fantastic. It can really transform our life and make us different. We can become noble beings or enlightened beings. Then suffering no more. Most of the time, your mind state is very peaceful. You are very calm. There's a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. Then tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, and the silent mind is like very normal to you. You are not like normal people, constantly having problems. The mind have a lot of worry, anxiety, agitation. Peace is like very difficult to come by. So that type of mind, no more. There's a reason why to develop the Dhamma understanding is very important. Then just now, I think, Tammy came and see me. She asked a very good question. She said, Brother Teo, her parents, her dad, talked to the mom. Karen, you were not around just now, but very good. He said the father asked Karen, he said, why you want to be a Buddhist? Very mafan. Got to keep the 5 precepts. Cannot kill, cannot lie, restrictive and all those things. So Tammy said, how to talk to him? How to reply to him? What do you think? If people approach you and tell you this way, why you want to become Buddhist? You have to keep the precept. You cannot kill, you cannot lie, you cannot do a lot of things. How do you answer them? Is it a restriction? It's definitely not a restriction, but how do you answer them? Anybody want to try? Oh, what are they? Andrew wants to try. No, he just joke. No need. Yeah, shy already. After you have studied the Dhamma, what do you think of the precept? Is it imposed on you? Yeah? Is it something that the Buddha imposed on you? Definitely it's not, isn't it? How did the precept come about? It comes about out of the great compassion and loving kindness of Buddha. Because he is so compassionate, if he don't teach you this teaching, then you dare to become heedless and do all those funny things. And what are these precepts, the five precepts? They are major evils. People who violate this precept, who go against this precept, who break all these precepts, are evil people. With the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That's why when you break them, you become evil. Evil coming consequence will arise. Then I told Tammy, next time if he asks this again, it's a good condition for you to teach him. Let him understand the teaching. It has got nothing to do with restriction and all those things. These are the precepts which we will observe and restrain from breaking them because we understand its deep meaning behind. Out of great love and compassion, the Buddha has advised us, basing on the law of karma, because we reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. But no need to teach him all this because he will have no time to listen. He's not interested at all. But you tell him about our society's rule. It's just like when you rob a bank with a gun, if you are caught, the death sentence will be imposed on you. Do you dare to rob the bank with a gun? You ask him. It's exactly the same way we keep the precept because we don't want to end up in life sentence. But this is something we cannot do. And these are just society's law. But the nature's law is such, if I harm people, I cheat people, I commit sexual misconduct and all those things, I partake in intoxicants, like drugs and all those things, I tell lies to deceive people, to cheat people. What are the consequences of all this? Because these are evil, root of all evil. The nature's law of karma is such, you reap what you sow, do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So you violate them, you become evil. So the evil karmic friction will fall back to you. And later on you become the victim. People will kill you, harm you, cheat you, abuse you, cause you misery, suffering. Then, because you break the fifth precept, you cause people to be intoxicated, take drugs, drink liquor and all those things. So, when the karmic friction comes, the repercussion is you become the victim. People will kill you, harm you, do all these things to you. Is that what you want? Because it's your life. If that is not what you want, you better keep the precept. Like robbing the bank. Don't wait until life sentence, then only regret. If I had known that, I will not do it. By then it's too late. So these precepts are major evil laid down to protect you. That's why I say out of love and compassion for you, you are supposed to develop this understanding so that you don't violate them. Otherwise, when you get into trouble, then only you say, why am I so stupid? You have known that I would not have done all these things. But it's already too late. And a lot of people who are heedless, after they get into such trouble, they still don't believe in the law of karma. They still point finger and blame others. So such people are very difficult to advise or help. That's why these people who don't have the Dhamma, they will continue to become heedless. The evil roots of anger, hatred, and delusion continue to become more and more strong. That's how they get into more trouble. The more they react to all these things, the more strong the karmic repercussion is. You can never come out of it until one day when you have had enough, then you decide to change over. And then only slowly, slowly, if you have the good karmic condition, you will meet up with somebody who can advise you or share this teaching with you. Then when you see the beauty of such teaching, then you choose to change over for the better. Then only there is a possibility of relief or release from that karmic negativity. So in a similar way, when we understand all this, we will take care of karma. And how do we take care of karma? We have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. How to avoid evil? Keep the precept. Precepts are major evil. If you don't keep them, you will develop a lot of karmic negativity. Then when you break the precept, you harm others. You cause suffering and misery to others. So the nature's law is very fair. You reap what you sow. So when the condition arises, it will hit back. And you will become the victim. So if you want to have the good life, the happy life, if you want your loved one, your family members to be well protected, you must keep the precept. You must cultivate virtue. That's why during the Buddha's time, when people asked the Buddha, what is the highest blessing or protection? The Buddha just replied one word, virtue. Virtue is the highest protection. Without virtue, nothing can protect you. Virtue means your goodness, your kindness, your generosity, your compassion. These are all the wholesome things that will bring about wholesome karmic friction. Without virtue, your life will be miserable. So this teaching is very important, very special, very unique. So when we understand as Buddhists, true Buddhists, we will know how to explain to people why we keep precept. Because we have great gratitude and respect for the Buddha. Out of love and compassion for us, he taught us this teaching. He taught us the precepts, and we can investigate into it. The first precept, take for example, we chant every day, we renew them. Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhi Yami. What is the meaning? The meaning is I undertake the training rule, means I train myself with mindfulness, awareness, to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Then we inquire, who kill? Who can do all these things, cause harm and kill fellow living beings? It's only deluded people, selfish people, violent people, angry people, heedless people. And these are all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So people with these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they will break the first precept. That's why we can't do it. If we do it, we end up like them. Then the karmic repercussion is people will kill you, will harm you when there is condition. That's why you can be attacked, you can be harmed. That's the reason why you look in the newspaper. Almost every day there is this news. People get killed. Even in Hong Kong, yeah, you think all these don't have karmic negativity. Now this life they do all this nonsense. Do you know those protesters who did all these things? They cause so much harm and disruption. In future, they are the victim. They will get into trouble too. So whatever you do, always remember you reap what you sow. It will hit back at your karmic nature. So that is the most important understanding of the Buddha's teaching. To have the good life, you must understand that this law of karma is very powerful. We are all the born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And we are what we are because of this law of karma. And this is the fifth contemplation that the Buddha asks each and every living being to reflect and contemplate daily. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if your entire life is almost 100% dependent on karma, what must you do to have the good life? Huh? We have to take care of karma. That's how the law of karma gives us the understanding. So according to this right view in regards to this law of karma, the Buddha come out with the teaching. His advice is based on this. You have to take care of karma. And how to do it? Avoid all evil. Keep the precept. Cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, following Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right spirit, right action. That's how the whole cultivation come about. Then train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be mindful. Then only you can see the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you can see them, you can arise the four right effort to abandon them. Then later on, with the understanding, you can prevent them from arising. Just like the four right effort will bring about purification of thought process, purification of action, speech, and thought. Not until you have the daily mindfulness develop, sati sampajana. You can never have sense restraint. You can never keep your precept well. So sense restraint need to have sensitivity of mindfulness, the understanding of what constitutes evil, the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. So this aspect of the teaching is seldom understood by practitioner or cultivator. That's why some Buddhists also complain. Actually, the precept is like burden to them. A lot of things cannot do, like very restrictive, because they don't understand. It's not meant to restrict you. It's meant to help you to develop the meditation, the mindfulness. That's why it's started off by this word. We undertake the training rule. It's a training rule to abstain from doing all those things. So if it's a training rule, how do you train yourself? You have to be mindful that these are evil. Root of all evil. You cannot violate them. That's why you have sense restraint is where you understand. So sense restraint comes from understanding. Sense restraint leads to your ability to keep your precept. Without sense restraint, you cannot keep your precept. To have sense restraint, you must have initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. That's why the 10th step of Abhijja Sutta again will surface, and it will teach you to develop the understanding accordingly. So while listening to the teaching, the Dhamma, step 2, you develop the initial wisdom, born on the first and second turning wisdom. Then from there, you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then you will have the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience. Then this yoniso manasikara, the wisdom, will prompt you whenever you confront life, whenever you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think. At the moment of sense experience, this wisdom at the moment of contact of mind with your respective sense organ will trigger off the understanding for you to act. Then you will act appropriately. You act according to understanding. No more acting according to memory, which are full of your wrong views, your wrong opinions. So your views, your opinion, and your wrong conditioning. Then within your memory, you also have your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your selfishness, your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity. So all these are negative tendencies. So you act according to memory, you are not acting at all. Well, these are all wrong thoughts. Evil condition, wrong thought. These are evil tendencies. So this teaching is something you have to develop the understanding so that when people question you or challenge you, the word in inverted comma, you know how to reply them. So this is for your sharing today. Okay, before I open it up, maybe I will pass the mic to Kok Lun and the wife to say a few words as the host. You can express whatever. Okay, yeah, go on, yes.
Okay, thank you, Brother Joe. Firstly, Sarah and I would like to thank you, Brother Tu and Mrs. Tu, for your presence and also for your blessing and guidance from the bottom of our heart. Thank you very much. Secondly, I would like to thank all Kayamitas for your presence again and also all the food offerings for the beautiful puja today.
Yeah, house dana. Puja and house dana. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, we are very grateful for all of us who have helped out, clean up, and also to pack up.
Yeah,
this is a lot of food, so
please must pack help up to dapao.
Take home for your family as well. So with that, I hand it back over to Brother Teo.
Thank you, thank you. Your wife want to say something?
It's our first time here doing this, so
this house dana,
if there's any shortcoming, please let us know. Thank you everyone for your contribution and for coming to our house.
Sadhu. Very good. Your two kids, how? Boy, girl? Andrew, you got anything to say? You want to express your whatever, your games. Just now I saw him playing that game. I was telling my wife, tell him this one is not real. But when you drive the real car, don't drive the same way as you drive. Bang everywhere, go up the hill and come down. But when somebody said there was an 8-year-old who drove the mother's car, who was it that said? My wife. And the boy said, what? No, Andrew said, yeah, I know. The 8-year-old that drive the mother's car around. they very observant. They know where you put the key. But here in Malaysia, different, boy. You cannot do it, I tell you. The moment you go out, you get into big trouble. I know you're 9 years old, older than the 8 years old. But you are still too short. Your leg can't even reach the accelerator. So when you play this type of game, you have to be careful. Then somebody told me, who was it? Was it Angie? They say Donald Trump blamed this game for all the weapon killing people in the American public area. So on the screen you can do it, but when you grow up, don't go and learn this thing, because sometimes it conditions their brain. Understand? The brain get conditioned, then to them it's like playing a game. So what? That's why they were, especially when they have depression problem, They will go and do all this type of thing. So the way we educate the children is very important. Certain things we need to let them know. Virtual reality is not a reality yet. But don't make it into a reality through your own lack of understanding. Because the real world is different. We have to teach them and educate them on all these things. Because they are too young to understand. to them, most of the time they are either on the iPad or on the internet. To me, don't blame IT, don't blame the internet, because you like it or not, the computer, the AI, IT, even internet, they are here to stay. What is important is the person who uses it, the user of that IT technology is very important. If you don't have the Dhamma, the understanding, then the user don't have wisdom, the user have delusion, ignorance, the user will become evil. Then everything you make use of to do become evil. But if the user of technology has the understanding, and technology is beautiful, it can help humanity, it can help the world. So nowadays life is not that straightforward like our time. Now you need better understanding to teach children. It's no more like our time. Our time during the 50s and the 60s. Maybe some of you are the 70s or my time was the 50s and the 60s. Our parents don't have time for us. Sometimes eat also, you have to come back early to the lunch or dinner table. You come back late, all the food no more. Especially the fish, bone also no more. At first I thought the head nobody eat. Then the fin or the one at the side one with a lot of bone on, or the tail, I thought nobody eat, and the bone. Later on they also know how to eat. Bone also no more, head also no more, everything also no more. Sometimes the sauce also no more. So these people know how to survive one. Because we look at reality, right? We don't have all this what they call virtual thing. That time technology not so developed. That time I remember handphone also don't have. During that time telephone also very rare. And our whole kampong, that place, there is only one house with a black and white TV. You know what is that house? The one, the shop that repair TV for people. So every time we got this Thomas Cow or special sport event, we will go there, gather at the house. And the owner is very kind. He open up the house. He know everybody go there. All the kids, the house is full. Seat until upstairs staircase also, no space. Everybody gather there. But that was fun. Those were the time. That's why we go through the 50s, the 60s. Then we get to experience the civilization of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000 century, and now 2000 and beyond. That's why we are now in the golden age. But we get to see the old civilization. During that time, certain places, no proper pipe water. Initially, when my parents came over and when I was very young, many households were still using well water, don't have proper pipe water. The electricity is very rare, only those shops and certain houses in more urban area have them. So that is the big difference between our time and now. So during that time, no need to educate the kid. The kid must survive themselves. That's why how we come to university, how we survive, although I cannot remember, but we know how to do it. Nowadays, they are so pampered until the kid go uni or go college. First week or so, must drive them there, make sure everything is okay, prepare everything for them. Our time, our parents don't even have time for us. They themselves are not educated. Where you go also they don't know. And there is no WhatsApp, no internet, no all this phone call. Sometimes I write one letter back to my parents 3-4 days before they receive. Then they reply another 3-4 days before I receive. If you receive, you are lucky. You have the college got 600 students. And sometimes go to which college also, because my parents not educated. His English, he doesn't know any English. He only follow the word that I write. Then sometimes the postman don't know how to read. You can't even get a letter. So there was other time. But I used to call back. My neighbor got a fixed line. So I will call my neighbor. Then my neighbor will pass the message. Then they know I'm coming home when. Otherwise, when I come home also they don't know. So those were the interesting years. So that time, life was much more simpler. But it has its pros and cons. You don't have so much problem to look after kids, to bring them up. But the other disadvantage is my parents don't get to see all these things that we get to witness now. But when we get to witness all this advancement of technology, civilization, the way we bring up the kid is different. Because they don't go through life like what we went through. They didn't see the difficulties of parents having to slot in the field or work very hard to support us. Then that time education was not something you can assume you will have. You are lucky and blessed you can have the proper education if your parent can support you. But nowadays it's different. Nowadays education is like a necessity. And they can sacrifice, parents can sacrifice until they save all the money and make sure the children go to all the good university. Even sending them to overseas to study. The parents are willing to sacrifice. But the kids, a lot of them, if you don't educate them, they take for granted. Then when they come back, they don't know what you have sacrificed for them. So these are the new generation or new civilization that we need to adjust, adopt, and develop the understanding. So for me, Dhamma also need to adopt. Dhamma also need to have the adjustment so that we can relate them to the present civilization. It's no more trying to teach the old way. The old way is more for the old civilization. That's why when I come out to share, I try my best to integrate Dhamma with life so that it is still appropriate even to the civilization that is happening now. Our new civilization. I call this the golden age, you know why? Because we are like very blessed, very lucky. If you have the means, if you are successful and have the understanding and the means, you can really have the good life. Not only you can travel, you can have all the good food too. And you can get to see the world, experience the world, even at home, through the all the channel, the video channel, the TV channel. Then we got a lot of very special channel, National Geographic, scientific channel. Then there are a lot more. Then we can actually experience life in a very different way. Nowadays, you can even go for all this cruise. Then you can visit many countries to actually experience their life, to see for yourself the different civilization, the different culture, the different food that you can get to experience. Then nowadays travel is so much simpler, easier. In the early days, my parents told me they sailed from China, South China, Xiamen, to Malaysia or Malaya. Take them 1 month, sometimes 3 weeks. When the ship is very slow. Now you take flight, 4 hours. So thing has changed. Then you can have the handphone, take so much of these beautiful photos. Then last time we used to send all this camera film for the shop to, you call what? Developer. Then we buy album, we put inside. Now no need, no need buy film, nothing. You can expand, contract, edit, digitize. So everything has changed. Then while you travel, you can send all this back to your friends, your children, and so on. So life has become so different. And we sometimes cannot take all this for granted, because these are actually your parami to experience all this. Because our parents, my parents, they miss. they didn't have a chance to really experience all this. But at least they have the experience until the 90s. Then my mother get to experience until the year 212, I think. 212. Not too bad. 2012, yeah. So, was it 2012? I forgot already. Never mind. My mom passed away at the age of 89, but because he was not educated. But he was very impressed with the TV. Then when we did the conference call from China, brother and sister Hu Ding came over to Malaysia during Chinese New Year, when they can communicate through this one. There's a, not WeChat, the Skype. Skype. She was so amazed. How come possible? They are there in China. I can talk to them. I can see them. I can laugh as well. So I told my mom, don't worry. This is technology. So she was really cute and amazed. She saw the advertisement on the TV. You know, those advertisements keep on repeating one another. So there was one advertisement, I remember, the cup keep on dropping and break. He said, how come so funny one? He said, every time the cup will fall and break, he doesn't know there is an advertisement repeater. So when you hear them speak, it's like very cute, because they are really that generation who doesn't know anything. Where she didn't go to school, she didn't even know how to write 0 to 9. Until later on, when we grew up, we teach her how to write 0 to 9. Then I asked her, why do you want to learn now? I want to buy 4 ekor, 3 ekor. He saw people buy, she don't know how to write, she cannot buy. So that was how it was at that time, the era, so cute. And I look at her, I really have a lot of joy, because you get yourself associated with her, then you put yourself in her shoe, you understand how she sacrificed for all of us. 9 of us brothers and sisters, and she alone, one mother, can wake up very early every day, non-stop. She never rest. Chinese New Year also never rest. Cook for us, wash for us, do all the 5 meals that time, not 3 meals. Your Hakka, you know, Hakka people, Hakka lady, early morning is one full meal, because you have to work in the field. My mother wake up 4 something to 5 o'clock, prepare, then 6 something, the food is ready. Then we eat like lunch, then dinner also same, because they work. Very tough life. Then wash all our clothes. He will never go and buy clothes. He buy cloth and sew herself. A lot of things she do herself. That time no gas. no rice cooker. Everything also, she go and gather the firewood, the stove, set up fire also not easy for us. You know, we are not from that generation. But you see her like magic hand, she set up the kitchen fire like very easy, you know. Oh, and she come up with a lot of innovative way using sawdust, kerosene, then just light the thing. So these are the things I saw, I observed, I learned. Then I can appreciate where we go through the 50s, the 60s. Then I get to experience the 70s. And the 70s are really very good. Because 70 is the year I passed my Form 5, 1971. Then 72, 73, I was in Form 6. Then I went to uni in 75. That's why those were the years I can still recall, and I treasure them a lot because these were the beautiful years that I went through, that type of life which my children cannot get to experience. The games we play, the things that we play were so different from nowadays. Nowadays, the kids, they play different things. I also don't know what they play now. Andrew, what do you play now? Magic card and all those things. Last time we got play marble, top. We even the bus ticket also can play. We gamble a lot. So life is really very different. Then funeral is like very common now. A lot of games during funeral, especially gambling on mahjong and all those things. Then the village life, the rural life of the 50s and the 60s actually is very interesting too. So these are the evolution that we can see as we exist through life. So if we have the experience, we should pass on our experience to our younger generation. That's why I observed what my father did, then I accumulated them, then I evolved my own. Then when they come to my kid, I tell them what my father did, then what I did. Then from there on, I say, you pass on to the next generation the experience. This is how they can learn, actually. And my kid appreciate a lot of things that I share with them, because they don't get to see them. Sometimes I purposely take them back to my hometown when they were young, to see all the chicken, the duck, the paddy field, and all those things. Because they haven't seen them. This is what I feel we need to expose them to. Because with the new era, the new civilization, I don't know why they don't show all this, the olden day thing anymore. Nowadays, they are all very modern. Everything is about adventure, sports, and all those things. But the amount of information that comes in for us to process has increased tremendously. That's why this is the information age, IT, AI. So Dhamma also have to follow. That's why we AI now, Dhamma easier. We have Jin Hao do the recording, Christy, they all can help. And it can be assimilated so much faster. Today the sharing finished. Next few hours before the end of the day, Sui An or Brother Tim, they will WhatsApp you. You can watch them. Even those who are not here can see them. That's the power of technology. That's why we can, that's how we can have all this. If you know how to use them appropriately, it's very helpful, very useful. Okay, with this, I think I will now open up to the floor. Do you have any particular topic or question that you want to develop understanding? You can ask me. You just have to show your hand. We will pass you the mic. Or you want to share anything? You can. Where is the mic? Oh, it's there. Why you also shy? Be like the West. Oh, Wes, you give them chance to ask questions, and the hand everywhere go up. now Erin no need to ask already. Is there any aspect of life or Dhamma that you all want to develop more understanding? We should now go more into life, so that you know how to make use of the teaching, to relate to life real experiences. Everybody already expert, no question. Angie, luckily got Angie, every time Angie.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo, and all Kalyanamitas. My question is about sensual pleasure, you know, in terms of the arising of when our sense organs, right, light up, and when we are in tune with the environment, so there's where all the interaction happens. And I think now, you know, with the technology age and IT, there's so many much more information floating around, and also images, you know. So when parents, you know, parenting becomes even more challenging.
Definitely. That one is very true. Parenting has become very challenging.
The good old days, like Brother Teo say, you know, we were all so simple. Life is so simple. We go to the beach, nobody cares.
We swim in the river, also nobody cares.
Nobody cares. So, but we survive.
That night don't have proper swimming trunk also. We just strip everything and just jump in, and we call it freestyle. We don't even know that there is such thing as breaststroke, butterfly, and all those swimming techniques. We only go in head above water one. That's the only one we know. And that time very good. No? Head above water, we don't sink one. No? They all must put their head down, only they can float. But we can swim with our head above water. That one we call freestyle. We call it the Kedah River. continue.
Well, it seems our body, anybody who cannot swim will survive or swim in the sea. So
definitely. During our time, we have to be tough. If people throw you into the pond, you have to survive. So we learn the hard way. Actually, most of the thing when I was young, nobody taught me. My parents don't have time even to teach me. They didn't even have time to rest. How can they have time to teach you? So the only thing I learned from my mother is she teach me how to tie my shoelace. That's the only thing I learned from her.
I mean, whatever our parents taught us are really, you know, for our survival. We become streetwise.
Correct. We become more independent, which is a very good thing. Do you realize our generation, we call it the first generation. You know what is first generation? First generation means we are the first generation that come out without the support of our parents, in the sense that they provide us with the education, of course, but the rest we have to survive. Do you understand? Whereas the second generation is different, no? Their parents are like us, educated, more knowledgeable, more capable, and we tend to pamper our children, understand? We worry about them more, understand? We care for them so much more. So because of that, they lack survival skill. Do you realize? You cannot just throw them out like that. They cannot survive in the outside world. Because everything is so dependent. And I have seen certain second generation kids who don't even know that the car they are driving the parents have to buy. How the road tax and insurance are bought, also they don't know. They only know how to drive and use that car. Then who pay the credit card also don't know. So a lot of things, especially if they have maid, they don't even know how to wash their shoe. They don't even know how to wash their clothes. So when they go out to study outstation or overseas, sometimes they have big problems. I have seen a few of these kids having problems, then went into depression. Then the parents worried so much for them. They came and talked to me, then brought the children to see me. I said, this is the result of what you all have done to them. You are so protective of them. You know what is protective? Because you are so worried for them. In the name of love, you think that is love. You actually pampered them. To me, it's the word pampered. You pampered them. You dare not let them try. Boy, don't. Everything also you get people do for them. That's why they don't know how to survive. The survival skill, the technique, all very weak. Sometimes they dare not even confront the world. But during our generation, first generation, nobody have time for you. You have to survive. That's why all of us survive. As we survive so well, we become so tough. We learn everything, almost everything ourselves. So different civilization, different time, different condition is different. Coming back to your question about sexual desire, what is your question?
There's so many medias around, so there's so many distractions. So that's where in terms of bringing children to be focused, you know, and to be to have some awakening chances. I think parents have to be very vigilant, and there's so much, you know, like for example, the recent case in Bangi, right? That man was so angry at the motorcyclist that he rammed into him. So I think there's a lot of anger in society now, and some, you know, it could be the parents did not sort of. You know, in certain countries, if the children commit crimes, they will hold the parents responsible. That's a very good modus operandi to follow. What do you think, brother?
Thank you so much for that very very fantastic question. You will get me into trouble if I try to answer. I heard of this before. Certain countries, especially I think in the more developed country, they hold the parent responsible. It's your duty to do certain things, your responsibility. Then sometimes it's like overdone. There was this case I remember many years back. You can't even do certain thing to your own children, or no? They got law to protect that one, no? You cannot cane them or reprimand them or anything. Then the parent was charged, you know, and the children were taken custody by the authority and all those things. To me, you want to have the real answer is a lot to do with their karma. There is no real such thing as right or wrong. How can you hold parent responsible? Understand? Because the parent is not even responsible for bringing them to this world. Do you understand? Although you cannot deny the parent give birth to them. But do you think it's the parent that bring them to this world? It's a combination of karmic conditioning. Understand not? For them to become your children and all those things. Then your karma and the children's karma, understand? They grew up in such a way, sometimes it's like you have to pay back your debt. That's why you have children who come, It's like debt collector. Collect debt from you. Then sometimes is they come and like they want to help you, bless you, repay your kindness and all those things. This one also have, but more rare. The one collect that one more often. So to be your children, giving you all the headache or the happy moment, depend on your karmic connection with them, understand? Or? If karmically is a debt collector, it will bring a lot of problem to you. Then like the Chinese saying, always go, don't know what past life, qin sai, zhang, like owe him from past life. This life, have to come and become my son and do all this, and I cannot do anything because he's my son. That's why I have to pay back all those things. All the so zhao xi, got to clean up for him. And there's a lot of such case. They go and borrow from loan shark, Tai Yilong. Then, with all the problem, they absconded, cannot find them. Then sometimes they even threatened to commit suicide. Then the parent panic. Then talk to him, okay, we help you pay, next time no more. Again repeat. Then happened again, another reason, again, final one, no more. But happened again. Until third time, fourth time, fed up, go and see Michael Chong. Then publish in the paper, disown him. But loan shark don't care. Still come, not pay yet. So a lot of this is because past life you did that to people. You are the loan shark, understand? You did that to people. You caused so much misery and suffering, but you don't know. To you is, I lend them money, legal. But you force people to pay because they are the parent. Like Angie said, parent has to be responsible. So loan shark says you have to be responsible if it's your kid. That to me is not fair. Because you choose to lend money to him knowing very well that he cannot pay. Then you come to the parent for what? But society is society, understand? Society evolved because of karmic conditioning. So as Buddhists, we will know it's nothing to do with parents or their children. Is their karmic behind that condition all this. Just like when I started, you want to have the good life, keep your precept. Don't become loan shark. Don't go and harass people. Don't go and do all these funny things to people. Then you won't end up getting this complication. Do you understand? Then sensual desire and all those things also same. Because we are born as a human, we have our physical senses. We have a consciousness trapped inside. So it depends on our Dhamma cultivation. If you don't have the Dhamma cultivation, if you don't have the understanding, you don't know how to live life, then you will get yourself entangled with life. That's why the Buddha under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the opening verse, he said, there are two extremes, he said, that living being need to avoid. One is sensual indulgence. When you indulge in the sense experience, that is one extreme that will bring about downfall. Then the other one is through delusion. You develop self-mortification. You torture yourself, you make yourself miserable with the wrong view, thinking that if I torture myself long enough, I pay back all my karma. Then when all my karma is paid back, one day I will become liberated, enlightened. The actual understanding is not that. You can never become enlightened. You can never liberate your mind unless you cultivate and develop the wisdom and the understanding. The self-mortification is a wrong view, the Buddha said. Then sensual indulgence will bring about problems. Means it make you very like very low. Means you overindulge. Your lust, your desire, your craving, your indulgence in the senses. That's why they use the word sensual indulgence. You indulge too much until you lost yourself, until you become so greedy, so lustful. Then you are incapable of developing the understanding of the teaching or to go the way of Dhamma to cultivate. So because of that, sensual indulgence, self-mortification are the two extremes we need to transcend or avoid. But when it comes to living life, the Buddha never say you cannot have good life, have the good food, the good condition, a good house, with all the good things that can bring about family, happiness, joy and other things. This is not indulgence. This is something that you can afford, something that you can have the condition to have them. So no harm to me, as long as you are not deluded by them, as long as you are not confused by them, means you don't attach to them, grasp onto them, hold on to them, until it becomes a craving, until you constantly crave to have them. But if you can afford like good food, yeah, good condition, why not? You can build a nice home for your family, why not? In the teaching, the Buddha got have this teaching which is very good. He said, as a lay person, you can develop four types of happiness. And this four type of happiness is not craving, not desire, no. He said the first type of happiness is the happiness of possession. Happiness of possession. You can have things, possess things, own things. But through the proper means, the Buddha said, you must earn it righteously. I still remember my first salary. Oh, I was really happy. I look forward to the first salary package means I earn it for myself through my own career, hard work and other things. Then when I use them, I feel very good. First thing I think of is my parents to repay the gratitude. So I have to buy them a proper dinner or a proper lunch. Then Chinese New Year, go back. First time I want to give ang bao. Last time I always receive from people. So the first type of happiness, happiness of possession, ownership of things, through the proper means, means you achieve it, you have it through the proper means. So that type of happiness is genuine, the Buddha say, you can have it. Then the second one is the happiness born of using what you have owned or possessed for your own happiness and the happiness of your loved ones and people whom you want to help. This is also another happiness that you can really, really have it. And many people don't know how to use this. When you already make it in life, when you have the financial freedom, you have to actually make use of whatever you have. For the happiness of yourself, your loved one, your children, your parents, people whom you have affinity with. Even sometimes as a humanitarian aid or whatever, you can use them. So when you use them, there is a type of happiness that comes with it. And the Buddha say, happiness of able to use what you have developed or established or owned or possessed for the happiness of all these people. So that joy is something legitimate that you can have. And this is not sensual indulgence, no. You can help them have better life, improve their life. That's what I did for my kid in the year 2009. I said, this is what I can afford, no problem. So I bought my neighbor's house. I did a complete renovation. Then I told my kid, whatever you want to do with your room, whatever design you tell me, I will try my very best to do it for you. And they were so happy. Then I shared with them the concept, the idea of how the house is to be used. Because I say, we don't really own this house, but there is condition for us to improve on the house. Will it be okay if I buy over the neighbor's house? Then we have this type of concept. I say we share the living area, the dining area. We maintain the two kitchen and all those things. And we have a very big living area and the normal space. Instead of one house, it's two house. Then I stay here, you all stay the other side. Then there are some guest room and all those things. Then you have the right to use the house in whatever way you want to. For me, while I'm still around, yeah, I just use them. Yeah. That's why they were very happy. Yeah. And they say, yeah, that's good. Then they told me what they want, so I did for them. Yeah. I spent some money, but it's worth it. It's something that I want to do for them. Because this is what I told them. This is what I can afford, and this is what I want to do. And there is so much joy. I saw my daughter did the Japanese style and all those things. Then my son did his own. Then my wife and me also did our own. Then we had the guest room and all. Then we have everything planned out very well. It's meant to be. That's like that type of happiness. Money cannot buy. Yeah. Then I used to help whichever brother and sister that is in need. Yeah. So far only the two sisters. Because their husband passed away, so he helped them. The rest of my brothers and sisters, they are well off, okay. They have a good life. Mm. Then now these two sisters also, their children all grown up. They are very, very independent now. Mm. Then the third type of happiness is to have no more debt, to be debt free. And this one, you don't be too gullible. A lot of people come and talk to me after that. Brother, to be debt free, my house still got loan, no? Housing loan, no? I buy new car, still got car loan, no? How? I say, you don't worry about that. Free of debt means free of tai yi long debt, understand? Free of debt that will burden you. This type of mortgage loan, why you worry? You can afford to pay or not? Oh, of course I can. So why you worry? That is not really what the Buddha is talking about. What the Buddha is talking about is don't go and owe people money unnecessarily until you are in trouble. Well, last time, when you got financial problem, what you do? You go to the pawn shop and pawn your thing, you remember? Then sometimes you go and advance from the landowner, the landlord. I tell you, if you do all these things, you can get into big trouble. But these people are like, you know what Chettiya is? Chettiya is like our modern loan shark. Then the pawn shop, at least they are more reasonable. You know what is pawn shop? Isn't it? My mother rather believe the pawn shop. She will never believe the bank one. She only believe the pawn shop. Yeah, he said, since young until she, at her age, she always go to the pawn shop, nothing happened. Then her karma very good. There was one year before the financial crisis, I remember, 97-98. So I remember my mother told me, she got one pawn shop, give her very high interest on her. But this is a long time pawn shop who has this, what they call relationship. And this pawn shop did very well because they collect all this jewelry that the people who need short-term money, they pawn the thing. Then maybe they value it. Then they will lend you 50 or 60%. If by that deadline you don't come back and pay, they will confiscate nothing. And this jewelry, they know, especially gold, it will rise in price, or they sell it to the goldsmith. And most of these pawn shops are goldsmith shops. That's why to them, no problem. But what happened was, I went back to my hometown that day. Don't know what happened. I came to know something. I felt something. Then I talked to my mother. I said, your money is still at the pawn shop. He said, yeah, paying very good interest. I said, why not you take it out? Now public bank also pay very high interest. She don't believe her. She keep on telling her. But my father believed me. Because my father last time put OCBC on, solid as a rock one, but pay 4%. Public bank that time aggressive, you know, pay until 10%, or because that time was crisis time. Then my father also same like my mother, you know, the mentality, no, risky. OCBC very solid. You know when he become very angry? When my brother, younger brother, want to go Canada and study. He just go to OCBC, ask for reference letter, support letter, to say that he got money to sponsor the son to Canada. The stupid OCBC bank refused to give him. He got so angry, he called me. I said, very easy. I come back, I arrange for you to go over to public bank, then I get a letter for you. Straight away, he shift all his money there. Then after that, when I told my mom about the thing, at first my mom was very considerate. My father straight away overruled, you don't scare my money all in public bank in the church. After he shift, the pawn shop, Alostar, all collapsed 2 years later. You know what happened? Because there is one guy behind all this pawn shop business. He actually absconded with all the money and went to Australia. And the whole pawn shop chain collapsed. A lot of people in Alostar kena. Wow, my mother after that thanked me. She said, wow, luckily you come back. I said, no, thank your good karma. I said, well, you didn't cheat people. You are very sincere, so people will not cheat you. That's why for so many years, your money there, nothing happened. But the moment you take out, within 1-2 years, gone. Then the other incident about, I think I told you before, you remember the Penang Ferry incident? Collapse, yeah? The Kuan Yin Tan. That day, my father and my mother, around that time, were going to Penang to see my younger brother, third brother, that he sent to Canada, come back on his day. Right? He's supposed to visit him. Then the news came that my parent hasn't arrived in Penang. Because morning they go, normally before lunch they arrive. They didn't arrive until even 9 something p.m. at night. They cannot cross over. All the news were black because no WhatsApp, nothing. You know what happened? They call me. I just ask one question. Is mother with dad? He said, yes. I said, you don't worry. Because my mother came over and looked after my kid for, I think, almost 10 years. And I took her to Brickfield Temple and she got faith. She chanted the thing. I said, you don't worry. Her parami will protect her. And you know what happened? Midnight, they cross over. We went to the ferry or got the restored. They cross over and my brother met them. So call me up and say they are safe and sound. So my brother asked my mom and my dad what happened. You know what my mom told my brother or not? When they reached there, my father wanted to go in, because still got space to go in, because they were passenger. My mother said, no, I want to go to toilet. He go to toilet. My father scolded her, come back, the ferry crossed already. And you know what happened? The next ferry before it come, the whole thing collapsed in front of them. If my mother didn't go to the toilet, they would have got into the thing and get into trouble. So luckily, because of that, my mother told the third brother. Then only my brother called me. I said, that's why I say no need to worry. Because I say, as long as she is there, you don't worry. Because I know her karma will take care of her. It's like nothing happened to her. So these are the things you must have faith in. And I know my mom very strong faith in Kuan Yin. And that day was Kuan Yin Tan. A lot of people crossed over and died during the incident. So these are the things that can give you faith and understanding. That's why virtue protect, nothing else. Well, my mother was very kind, very humble, very virtuous. She sacrificed so much for us, and she never wanted to cheat people or lie to people. She is very, very honest, very sincere, a very kind lady. And she can never do all those things. She has faith in Kuan Yin, very strong. But she also believes in deities. She also go and make all the offering. Whatever can help, she will have faith. The reason why she asked for the number thing is, we got one, our house, my mother want to build a like altar for the Topek Kong. She believe in Topek Kong. So she make a very nice one, Topek Kong. Then he say, after install Topek Kong, he pray to Topek Kong. He say, help me to develop some luck and all those things. So the tiga echo on the come to the house and ride on, walk by. Then he say, oh, he call my mom. He say, oh, you install Topek Kong, you have luck. He say, today want to buy it. My mother doesn't know how to ride. So my mother say, okay lah, buy this three number lah. Just one number with the three digit. My mother elephant memory, all our birthday, the kid one, she know one. Not only the day, no, the time you are born also she know one. That's why I no need to check my birth cert. The Tongsu people, the fortune teller come to the house. My father want to ask them to come. I'll call my mother first. This child, what day, what time, all she know. So what happened was, she told her to write that number. She write. Then my mother trust her, but don't know how to write. So trust her, don't know about the writing also. So this lady, after he collected the thing, then give my mother the receipt, he went up. Then at night, the number came out, my mother didn't know. Because the people passed by, they got this number. They mentioned that number. My mother said, no, I didn't buy this number. I buy another number. Then at 7 something p.m., the lady who wrote the number came to the house. He said, he told my mother, wow, you're very lucky you strike. Huh? I strike? What number did I write? He said, he write the wrong number. But that also can strike. That's why I say, my mother got it, parami. He told us in Hakka, xia shu ci, tu zhong de to. The number, right wrong number. Tell her, well verbally, because she don't know how to write verbally. Tell her that number, she got to write another number and came out first prize. That's why my mother was so happy. Then there is a lot of this story about her. That's why after that he said, better teach her how to write 0 to 9 so that she can write the numbers. She don't want to end our strike already. People say didn't strike. She also worried about that. So this was the thing. So coming back to sensual indulgence, all those things, there are 4 types of happiness. I finished 3, right? To be free from that is a very, very what they call happiness and joy. The last one is use that money to live a blameless life. You know why it's a blameless life? So that wise people don't blame you. Blameless means what? Petty thing, since you can afford. Like my friend Sam used to say, if money can solve, it's not a problem. Understand? If it's small thing, if it's something that you can afford, why you want to create trouble out of it? Don't try to be too rigid on right and wrong. Understand? If a small thing can resolve it, okay, no problem. I will pay. Started it, understand? Huh? Why you want to argue about right and wrong? Sometimes people argue, like one case in the bank, same. I don't know regarding what already. The old lady was very, old man, I think. Very angry, the bank officer, for didn't advising her on the fixed deposit rate. Because you put another, don't know what, longer term one, is higher interest or don't know what. Then, after the FD all done up already, he saw, he said, how come the rate is just like that? He said, I heard from my friend, other bank pay higher and all those things. Then the bank officer tell her, I checked with you just now, you say okay. If I know this rate, I'm not going to accept it. Then someone know how to calculate, you know. He said, I will lose out so much, you know, it's quite a big sum. Wow, actually, total difference is only 200 something. And actually, I was there, you know, I was thinking, tell the other lady at the counter there, the bank officer, you just say, okay, my mistake, I absorb the 200 something. Yeah, I pay on your behalf. Yeah, then I reimburse you, I told the officer. But luckily, somehow they managed to convince her, but she was still very angry when she left. But I was there, happened to be there. Then after that, I asked them, what's the commotion about? Wow. He said, over 200 over ringgit different of interest. Oh, I said, this small thing, next time you let me know, I will pay. So that's why a lot of these things, like accident also same. It is small amount you can afford. Never mind, just tell that person, especially motorbike, don't worry. I will pay for whatever medical expense and all those things. So small thing where you can afford and resolve it then. Don't let it build up unnecessarily. Especially in life, there are many things that are very minor. But because you look at money like very big, then you get this conditioning from when you are poor or when you are not successful that time, because you look at money like very big. Then right and wrong, you say, no, it's a matter of principle, not the amount. You say. Then you get into big problem. Why you want to make life so difficult? It's not worth the stress. To argue over all these things. If it's small matter, resolve it. Sometimes small thing, like that day, I bought this air ticket. I go back to other stuff. Somehow the internet, one of the programming, one of the airline, very rigid one. I actually paid. It was cheaper by a few hundred, I think $300-$400. I paid the ticket. Then somehow, the Maybank to you refused to authorize the payment. So I withdraw that thing. Then I key in again. I want to use credit card to pay. That programmer refused to let me pay. He said, just now you just paid. We don't know whether it's clear or not. Otherwise it becomes double payment. So he refused to let me pay. Got this type of airline. So I try again using another card, also tell me the same thing. Then I say, okay. I forget about the airline, I go and click Firefly. Firefly more expensive by about 300 ringgit. I say, never mind, I book Firefly. I need to go back on that date with my wife and my daughter. So I just pay and finish off. Understand? Otherwise I get myself entangled with the flow for one. And it's something that I can afford. That's why I just pay. And I don't feel like, you're some pucky man, no. That's why sometimes in life, you have to look at things differently. Because all this you cannot bring along. Do you understand? And you can afford, so what? Just pay. But if it means a lot to you, then of course, my advice is don't do that. Try your very best, even drive all the way to the office and get it rectified or so. Do it. So to live a blameless life is so that wise people don't blame you. So that you can help resolve things amicably through an understanding. So this is what Dhamma is all about. You can have, you use the word sensual pleasure, sensual pleasure. So sometimes it's how you interpret that word. It's not really a sensual pleasure if you can afford it. You can afford it and you want to have it. Like you want to buy a nice new car. To live, to experience, to drive around. You can, no problem. Nobody stop you. It's not something evil. You got no selfishness, nothing. You just want to pamper yourself a bit. Then you want to travel, you can afford, you want to travel business class, so what? Travel. Experience it. There's nothing wrong. This is not craving. Eating good food is not craving. Please don't get all these things wrong. It's your understanding. Your understanding is without the evil root, then you do. You don't worry. You don't do just because people say this is craving, no, this is sensual pleasure, no. And then you got this thought telling you. Then you got problem. Got money also got problem. No money also got problem. Then what are you doing? So you have to have Dhamma understanding, okay? Yeah.
But Bratio, so when do we start practicing renunciation? In terms of, let's say, wealthy people, you know, they don't want to enjoy their wealth, but they choose to give to charity. Because they say now they want to really...
Oh, that one is a choice. That one is a choice. If they want to give to charity, it's a choice. Because it depends on their understanding. Yeah, they can give, no problem. But it's their choice. So when you talk about renunciation, it's different. Renunciation, the meaning is very deep. Renunciation can mean renounce to become a monk. Understand? That is also renunciation. But the deeper meaning is you renounce everything. You can renounce everything. Means everything that you come to be aware of. The phenomenal world of consciousness. You know they are not real. That's why you can renounce them all. Everything. Then you will not have suffering. Because attachment, craving is suffering. So when you can renounce, doesn't mean you must give away all. Can renounce means you don't attach. You don't cling. You don't grasp. Do you understand? Means when there is condition to have. When there is condition to use. But when there is no more condition, if it ceases to be, let it be. You are not afflicted, understand? So renunciation means you can renounce the world and yet you can be with the world. You can live in the world. You can have and yet you are not attached. That's why you can renounce everything. Like the Buddha can even renounce his wife, his children and other things, even his physical body. He just allow the tigress to eat. He just jumped down and sacrificed himself. That's how he renounced. Because when you have the understanding, you can do it. You do it with understanding. So renunciation, the deep one is, you must renounce everything. You cannot renounce everything, not having the wisdom to understand that the phenomenal world is the world of consciousness, not real, not what you think, then you don't have the wisdom to renounce. But if you understand it very clearly, you will have the wisdom to renounce. Renounce means, you will not hold on to all these things, no matter how dear to you and all those things. It may be your possession, your loved one, the things that you treasure a lot, value a lot, but you know that these are all dependent, originating, condition, arising entity, phenomenal world of consciousness, not real. So when it's time for it to separate, you can accept that reality. You can just let it be, and it can happen. And that is true wisdom leading to renunciation. So renunciation doesn't mean you have to give away everything. No. Like last time I remember I got one classmate. He actually know that I understand the Dhamma very well. And he realized that I always share this not so real one, not what you think. Then you know what he tell me. Not so real, your money all give to me. Your house, your property, all you give to me. I say, not so real doesn't mean I have to give to you. Not so real means they are all not what you think. But when there is condition to have them and to use them, I will use them. Why should I give it to you? Understand? Not real doesn't mean I cannot have. Understand? This body is not real, not me. But karmically, it's so important. Understand? This one is subject to karma. This one, I have a duty. I cannot give it to you just like that. Because this is the understanding. So when you understand, you are not foolish. Understand? You don't just give everything to you like people say, not real. Or give away. That is not the Dhamma. The Dhamma is don't attach. Understand? They may not be real, but there are conditions behind their arising. So when they arise and there is condition and affinity for them to come, you will know how to use them. Make use of them. That is what the Dhamma understanding is. Not to say that everything not real, not me. Then give away. Then you myself die. Not you. How can you have such deluded thinking? People who don't know, they always want to make fun. Not real. Come on, give to me. So the meaning of renunciation and whether real or not real is very deep. Not real doesn't mean that everything you have to ignore or just not real one. Cannot. It has its own reality in the existential world. That's why the existential world has Dhamma. Understand? Has form and mind. Has birth, old age, sickness and death. All these things is existing within the existential world. And it has its own condition. And it has its own reality in inverted comma. That's why you have to understand the conditioned world and the unconditioned in order to live the good life, the perfect life. Otherwise you cannot. You become one-sided. The conditioned Dhamma is inapplicable in the unconditioned world. The unconditioned world Dhamma is not compatible to the conditioned world. Where the two are almost completely opposite. Because within the unconditioned, there is no old age, sickness and death, no four noble truths, no attainment, no enlightenment, nothing. So how do you reconcile? You cannot reconcile. But they are such reality as the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma. That's why in the teaching is mentioned Sankata Dhamma and Asankata Dhamma. Sankata is the unconditioned Dhamma. The Asankata is the unconditioned Dhamma. So all these are very clear. Okay? So regarding sensual indulgence, you know the difference between sensual indulgence and sensual pleasure. You can have the good sense experience. As long as you don't attach, then you can have it. You can experience it. You can live that moment with the understanding, no problem. The deep meaning is the attachment, the craving, the grasping, the clinging. When you give meaning, you become entangled within the conditioned world. But when you don't give meaning, nothing can torment you and cause you any suffering. That's why when it comes to the unconditioned, you straight away understand no reality. That's why this one can accept. Time to go, it just go. No problem. It no need to go and worry. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. My will not return yet. What will happen after I no more? What will happen to my children? My loved ones and all those things. Then sometimes they attach to their property, they worry about this, they worry about that. This is for the conditioned world. And this is for the deluded. The wise one who have awakened will never think that way. But they know, form and mind not real, not me. He know you, he know me. That is the unconditioned world's understanding. That's why this one, when it doesn't exist, how can it cling? How can it hold? How can it try to own or do anything? No reality. Because that form and mind does its duty, finish, following the law of karma. And no reality. No one dies. No one born, no one sick, no one old. All this, the understanding will be there. It will just unfold. Then you will know how to transcend all this duality or the condition, Dhamma. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think we better end. Coming to 3 o'clock. Yeah, that's why I want to do the chanting for Kowloon. So we recall to mind and rejoice in all the wholesomeness that we have done today. Turn to page 14. We will do the chanting for blessing, to bless Kowloon's house and also all Kayanamita. So blessing, sharing our merits, seeking forgiveness and making aspiration. This is a complete chanting, but we will finish at blessing, sharing of merits. Then the rest no need. Making aspiration, yes. Okay. Those who know how to chant together. Page 14. Sumangala, auspicious blessing. So this is invoking the power of Triple Gem to bless your house, to bless your family, and to bless all Kayamita who are here. Sabbe tiyo vivacantu, sabba rogo vinasatu, mate bhava tvantarayo sukhi digaya yuko bhava. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sadda soti pavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena sadda soti pavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba sanghanu bhavena sadda soti pavantu te. Nakata yatta buttanang papagaha nivarana paritasanu bhavena hantu te sang upadave. Sabbe buddha balapata pace kanang ca yam balang arahantanang ca tejena rakam badami sabbaso akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkantu loka sasana etta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anudantu sabba sampati sidya idang menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo asat kalena sasa sampati hito ca feto bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, before we end, I will read the English translation for the auspicious blessing on page 14 so that you all understand. We seldom read through this one. Okay. The chanting for auspicious blessing, Sumangalam. May all misfortune be averted. May all sickness be healed. May no danger befall you. May you live long and happy. May there be blessing all around. May all the devas protect you. By the power of the Buddha, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. May there be blessing all around. May all the devas protect you. By the power of all Dhamma, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. Then they repeat, may there be blessing all around. May all the devas or deities protect you. By the power of the Sangha, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. By this Paritta virtue, may no ill come to pass through cosmic force, demon, powerful non-humans, or opposition from planetary antagonism. May our misfortunes cease to exist. All Buddhas are powerful, and whatever power there is of the silent Buddha, and through the power of all the Arahant, may there be protection in all aspects. So this one is a very powerful chanting that the Buddha used. So this one, they invoke the power of Triple Gem to protect, and they call upon the devas, especially Dhamma protector, to protect too. That's why you go on spiritual trip after the offering or whatever, the monk will chant this on Sabetiyo Yuvajantu. It's a very, very powerful, famous chanting. So all these are to help you overcome a lot of these karmic forces in nature that can cause harm to living beings. So here, the starting one is, may all misfortune be averted. May all sickness be healed. May though no danger befall you. May you live long and happy. So this one is very useful. Then after that, blessing all around with the devas and Dhamma protector blessing. They invoke power of Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Then the second last one is also very important. By the power of this Paritta virtue, means all this chanting, may no ill come through to pass through cosmic forces, demon, powerful non-humans, or opposition from planetary antagonism. May our misfortune cease to exist. This one will happen when the planets and all these very major cosmic movement, sometimes it can happen and it has its effect on planet Earth. So if your karmic nature is not strong enough, it will hit you. That's why in many incidents during the early period, when all these things happen, sometimes for no reason, the whole planet go through a phase where a lot of people are affected. That one is due to cosmic force and all those things. So sometimes even our moon have effect on the human being's behavior. Do you realize that? Full moon and new moon, the tide and all those things. Because of all this planetary movement, we call it gravity and all those things. So within nature, there are a lot of these things happening. That's why here they invoke the Paritta to help protect you. And all these are possible because the thing that they invoke, the triple gem, the Buddhas, even the Arahants, all their virtue, their nature, they can have this protection. They can bring about all this. So when you have faith, when you really do the correct thing, then you can receive all this blessing. And even you are born during that time, or you are around during that time, you can be so blessed as to have the ability to avoid all these things. That's why this type of chanting is useful. I normally chant this when I go to a new place where Kayamita had their house dana for the first time. Okay, with this you can pay respect Triple Jack. Then we end. We shall thank Colon and family, and all who has made this house dana a success. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.